We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky coming to you from my home in Nueces, Illinois.
And this is Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark coming to you from my office at Ascension Lutheran Church in picturesque South St. Louis.
And so we've been trying to help out the radio station there, KFUO, who is our sponsor. And we're trying to get maybe some people to do commercials and things, right? To get a little commercial income.
Sure.
So far, no one's offered. Okay. No one wants to be associated with Wrestling with the Basics. However, if you do, remember we now have an email. You can contact us. It is wwwkfuo@icloud.com. So whether you want to advertise with us or not, if you just have a question or you want something you'd like us to talk about, email and let us know. So what I'm going to do, I have someone here, and I'm hoping that they'll be so impressed that they'll say, oh, yeah, we'd like to give you money for that. Okay?
Oh, you know okay. What I'm saying? All right,
it's kind
John.
Of a reverse thing. We won't ask them.
Okay.
But we'll do the commercial, and then maybe they'll throw in some cash.
Because it's so good.
This is a local a product here out of St. Louis, Missouri. It's called Willert, W-I-L-L-E-R-T, Home Products. But the thing we are advertising today is they have a military spec swatter. Military spec swatter. You know what? Like a fly swatter?
A swatter? Okay.
This is military grade.
Military grade. Whoa.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Next level. Fly
Next
swatter.
Level. And by the way, this is not a joke. I love these people because anyone could make a fly swatter, but they have a military grade fly swatter. It's almost worth buying the swatter just to take the little tab off of it with it, the explanation. Okay, so for example, it's recoilless. It's a recoilless design. You don't want the ones that recoil and they end up smacking you in the face. No,
right.
This is a recoilless design. Allows for SWAT attacks on even the largest flying prey. How about that? It's a precision manufactured flapper and super strong steel handle creates the most lethal flying pest killing apparatus the world has ever seen. Superior balanced action allows for smooth, powerful swats. Even when seated, Matt, you don't have to get up. You can sit in your chair. And one more thing, it says, will not bend or break even in the most severe of conditions. So there's a quality fly swatter for you, Matt.
I can't imagine a better one, John. They seem very confident of their product. Do they make other products beyond fly swatters, or is it just...
I have no idea. This is the only
swatter
one
market
that I have from them. They also, it says, it goes on to say there's 888 civilian uses. They don't list all 188 of them, but apparently, for example, you can use it as a canoe paddle because you never know when you'll be up the creek without a real good one. It's a beer can crusher, it says. Redneck badminton, it says. Okay, so Willert Home Products, we thank you for taking the time to write a humorous tag to add to what is just it's not a normal, it's a military grade fly swatter.
Wow.
So thank you.
Not
I think
bad.
They're available at Menards if you're interested. Okay. All right. Oh, man.
Fantastic.
They're gonna be, don't you think they're going to write us out a check for what? $5-$10, I'll bet you.
I'm sure they'll be flying off the shelves after that endorsement from Wrestling with the Basics.
They will be. That's it. It's the official fly swatter of Wrestling with the Basics.
Oh, I love it.
Ask it by name. Oh, man. I'm sorry about that, Matt. You know,
tell them John and Matt sent you.
Yeah, there you go. I like I said, I think they've been missing the radiation. They've been hitting my brain instead of my prostate. But we're going to work on that. We're going to get that corrected. What do you want to talk about, Matt?
All right, John. I want to talk about Revelation chapter 21.
Oh, and good,
in recent
good,
weeks, we've had a couple little insights from Revelation, but let's look at Revelation 21. Beautiful, beautiful verses about the new heaven and the new earth.
This is my favorite chapter in Revelation.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Because there's some doozies. I can see why this one would be your favorite. So let's go ahead and read through verses 1-4. And maybe we can just start off with, well, what are some things that kind of stand out to us in those verses? So, go ahead, John, verses 1-4.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.
Yeah, isn't that beautiful, John? So anything that stuck out to you in those verses, anything that you know, you said your favorite section here from Revelation, any reasons in particular that you hold these verses dear?
Well, the one thing that I just want to point out, because I think it's kind of cool, that there's no sea. Because if you read the earlier part of Revelation, there's this sea that kind of comes between a man and God. And of course, in the New Testament, the sea is, well, the Old Testament too, the sea is always a thing of danger. All right. The disciples are out on the sea and they think they're going to perish. So it's kind of nice to know, well, that's just gone. It's not there anymore.
Yeah.
But of course, the thing that really is, he'll wipe away every tear from their eyes.
Oh,
okay. Because when you get to be 72, you've shed a lot of tears. And I'm still shedding tears. And it's kind of nice to know, okay, so there'll be no mourning, no crying, no pain anymore. That's good to know, because there's plenty of it now. So it's good to know there'll be a time when there won't.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that beautiful? And it's almost like John can't find the right words to describe how wonderful these new heavens and new earth are. You know, in fact, the only way he can describe it is with the not so good things that we're so familiar with, right, in this fallen world. And so he has to describe what will not be there, their absence, right? No more mourning, no crying, no pain. The former things have passed away. You know, it's so wonderful. The only way we can possibly understand is just, you know, those things we are so familiar now with stink, the crying and the mourning, the pain, those won't be there. That's the only way he seems to be able to really express how wonderful this is going to be. Yeah,
no, you know, it's the same way when we try to describe God. We just have to describe how he's different than us, because we just really can't grasp what he is. And that's the thing. I've often wondered, why doesn't God tell us what heaven is like? And I think it's because now we're back to what we talked about last week, Matt, right? There are just some things we can't understand. And I don't know that at this point in time that God can explain them. So he does, again, we have some parables here, I guess you could say. And when you get there, you realize, oh, okay, yeah, exactly. Now I understand exactly. But at this point, we couldn't really comprehend that.
Yes, it's beyond our comprehension. We are fallen creatures in a fallen world. We can't comprehend a holy God and a holy heavens, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm glad you bring that up, John, because I think it emphasizes this idea that there is this gap between us and God.
Okay? Yeah.
To a certain extent, right? There is a gap between us and God, and it exists because of sin, because that first sin of Adam and Eve. That we sometimes feel like God is at a distance, that there's this gap. It's at least partly true. I think we see evidence of that in our lives when there's that, you know, battling with cancer like you're going through now, John, right? I think of you and I were talking before we're recording about the storm that just passed through St. Louis. That's a reminder, right? That things aren't perfect here, and God might even feel like he's at a distance. You know, here in St. Louis, we had a storm passed through. There was in the middle of May, and 1 minute, you know, everything is beautiful. The sun is out, the breeze is blowing, and then a storm just passed through so quickly. Did a lot of damage at the Concordia Seminary campus. Also in Forest Park, where John was at even during the storm,
right there in the middle of
all places. He was in the eye of the storm. And then the storm passed, and, you know, 5-10 minutes later, the sun's out again and everything looks fine, you know, weather-wise.
Yeah.
But yet it left a path of real destruction, you know, houses destroyed and church steeples fallen and lots and lots of branches were on streets and landed on cars and even took lives, and trees toppled over. It was rough. You know, and those storms, you know, whether meteorological one, a literal storm like that, or maybe other storms in our lives, whether physical or spiritual, whatever they look like, you know, they remind us how fragile life is, right? And again, sometimes they can cause us to think that, well, maybe God is at a distance. And again, that's partly true. This gap that sin has opened us up between us and God is real. This world, our lives just aren't the way that God intended them to be from the beginning, when things were so perfect in the Garden of Eden. Romans 8 reminds us that all of creation is groaning, right? Groaning, waiting for something better. And we see that certainly when a storm passes through like that, that's so severe. And so what I want to talk about today, John, is, well, okay, if there is a gap between us and God, how is that gap bridged? Right. How is that gap bridge between us and God? Because I think there's really only two ways. Either we climb up to God, or God comes down to us. That's really the only two options. One way is human, and another way is divine. That's what I want to take a closer look at.
And I would add, Matt, I think what's interesting about this text is that. It's not just that we are sinners and that separates us from God, but the whole dang shebang is separated from God, right? I mean, the very creation has been corrupted too, which is why there needs to be a new heaven and a new earth. It's got to be totally changed and cleared. So again, all right, talk about it. So how is this going to be accomplished?
Yeah. Yeah, well, let's look at, you know, the you know, option number one, this gap between us and God, and, you know, do we climb up to God? You know, because that's been kind of the thought of humans from almost the very beginning, the opening chapters of the Bible, right? You know, the Tower of Babel, Genesis chapter 11, we're only 11 chapters into the Bible, and these people are building a tower up to the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. Basically, let's climb up to God. And the result is disaster. God confuses their language. They can't understand each other's speech. They're dispersed over the face of the earth. God puts an end to what they're doing. And I think we read that account today and we think perhaps, you know, that's almost laughable, right? That someone thinks that they can build a tower up to God, that they could be like God in that way. John, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think you could even go back to Adam and Eve, because what's the temptation? Eat the fruit and you'll be like God, right? You can just do it yourself.
Like God.
Then, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Even earlier, right? Exactly. And I think, you know, that sounds ridiculous, but yet other religions, boy, that's kind of what they offer us, John, right? When you think about it, whether it's good deeds that are going to get us into heaven, or, you know, the pillars of Islam that we follow that hopefully maybe will earn paradise, or even secular humanism. We think about, you know, this idea that we have kind of a moral staircase up to God, that if we just educate ourselves or improve our society, or if we're kind enough to each other, well, then we can make things better. We can fix this world on our own. And that's not the way things work, right? We can't climb up to God by how good we are, by how moral we are. That's just not the way things work. Now, you know, people that follow these different philosophies or different religions, you know, they're not our enemies, right? They're still people loves.
They're the same situation we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just trying to figure it out. Yeah.
You bet. Yeah. They're people that God loves. They're people that Jesus died for. They're people loved by Christ. But they're people that probably don't know that. Right. They probably don't know God's great love for them in Jesus Christ. And they desperately need to hear it. They need to hear it. That's for sure. But, you know, it's not just the non-Christian that thinks that they can sometimes climb up to God. But we do too, even as Christians, even people who know Christ and all that he's done for us, there's times where we think too that, yeah, if we're good enough, or if we work hard enough, or if we believe strongly enough, or we're pious enough and do things just right when it comes to whatever it is within the church, well, then we can bridge that gap between us and God. But as you and I know, John, hopefully, on our own, we're never enough. You know, no matter how hard we try to climb, we can't reach God. Every tower we build, it's going to fall short. Every moral staircase, it just collapses under our own imperfection and sin. It's not going to work. So I think, you know, again, a real temptation to try to climb up to God, whether it was Adam and Eve, whether it's the Tower of Babel, whether it's other religions, or whether it's even us as Christians sometimes thinking that, yeah, it's something that we do that can enable us to bridge that gap between us and God, that can enable us to climb up to him, be like God. And that's just not how it is. It's not how it's possible to bridge that gap. That's not how it works.
Well, and it's interesting that you mentioned that this is a problem for Christians, and ironically, maybe even more so for Christians or for other really, really religious people. Okay.
Yeah.
Because if you look in the New Testament, who are the people that are furthest from God? It is actually the people that think they're the closest to God, right? It's the Pharisees. It's the
Sadducees.
Scribes. It's the priests. Yep. It's the guy saying, thank God I'm not like that sinner. See? And you're right. I think it's one of the greatest dangers we have, because of course we want people to come to church every day. No, not every day, every week. Well, sure, if they'd come every day, that'd be all right, too. We wouldn't mind
that. Even better.
but at least once on a Sunday, you know. But then that's the problem. Then we begin to think, oh, yeah, I've done that. I've gone to church. I even say prayers in the morning and in the evening. And all of a sudden, that's what now has made me close to God. And no, that's actually what drives you away from God and from your neighbor, too. That's, to me, that's always the result of that. Then we begin to get proud, and we begin to judge other people. And yeah, it's just exactly the opposite of what Christ wants for us in our lives.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, I think Revelation 21 then gives us a picture of a better solution, right? You know, what happens here again, John, Revelation 21 again, verses 1 and 2, could you read those again?
I sure can. But of course, since I have a computer, I have to scroll.
Okay.
So give me, I scrolled. Okay, there we are. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. I think I see where you're going, Matt. Coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
Yeah. So, yeah, John, you probably saw that. Hopefully our listeners saw that coming too. This new Jerusalem, where is it coming from? It's coming down, right? Coming down out of heaven from God. So this new heavens and new earth. It's not about us going up to God, but it's about God specifically here. This new Jerusalem, right? This new heavens, this new earth. Coming down from heaven, right, from God, which I think is just beautiful, beautiful. And that's how God operates. That is how God works. It's not just in Revelation 21, but that's how God has always done it. That God bridges this gap between us and him by his coming down to us. It's not a human way. It's a divine way to eliminate that gap. You know, so we think about God coming down to walk with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You know, isn't that beautiful? I can't even imagine what that must have been like. But God coming down. God comes down in fire and cloud to be among the people of Israel when they're in the wilderness as he leads them on their way to the promised land. You know, most importantly, right, God comes down in the person of Jesus Christ, a God and man, coming down from heaven itself, to be conceived in Mary's womb, to be born, to live his life for us, God comes down. And then, of course, Jesus coming down in a kind of a figurative way when it comes to the humility of being nailed to a cross, right? That he would suffer death, even death on a cross, coming down for us. So he does that again and again and again. And if we see that through the scriptures, God coming down to us, and we could add so many more examples than the ones I just listed. But also so important to recognize too that, well, it wasn't just back in Bible times, but God still comes down to us today, even now. So with every baptism at the baptismal font, God's coming down. And every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, God's coming down. It's his body and blood. Every scripture reading we hear, every sermon we hear preached, it's God coming down to us. That God is still living. He is still active in word and sacrament. And the sacraments, they aren't about us going up to God, right? That we're doing this thing for God. And, oh boy, now I'm more God-like, more holy because I've gone to communion. No, it's God coming down to us in the Lord's Supper, in the Word, working in our lives, renewing us, forgiving us, strengthening us, because he's come down to us. So I think that's something to always keep in mind. And one way of even reading the Bible and thinking about worship is God coming down to us. But we hear it again and again in the scriptures, and God's still coming out down to us today, a present reality when we come in worship. We see that taking place.
And Matt, you know, I think that is a really, really important thing for all of our listeners and all of the pastors who might be listening to. It's not that you go to church so you can impress God, so you can do your thing, so you can be closer to God. But it is people, and in fact, that's what I love about the Lutheran liturgy, because the first thing we do usually is we confess we're sinners. We confess that we really don't deserve to be there, that we've sinned in thought, word, and deed. What we need is temporal and eternal punishment. That's what we should be getting. But see, that's why we're there, because here is where we find the God that is described in Revelation 21, who wipes away tears.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that was the problem with the God in the Old Testament. When he showed up, you don't know what he was going to, right? On Mount Sinai, thunder and lightning. Oh, we don't want to, you go and talk to him. But no, that's the joy we have in Jesus, is knowing that we've gone to a God who is going to forgive us and make us worthy to go into heaven. He's doing the thing for us. And that's a really big problem, I think, especially for us as Lutheran Christians, because we are pretty dedicated and pretty faithful. And it's very important to us to remember that that's good. Faithfulness is a good thing. But what we're faithful in is in this faith that it's God who's restoring and forgiving us and preparing us for the time when we will be taken into the new heaven and the new earth.
And that really is the final coming down, right?
Yeah.
You know, that Jesus has come down, right? And we see God coming down again and again in the scriptures. He comes down to us in word and sacrament. But this final once and for all coming down is here in Revelation 21, where, again, this new holy city, Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, and the new heavens and the new earth. And then after that, God doesn't have to come down anymore.
No,
because
no.
We dwell with him. Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah.
The dwelling place of God is with man, it says in Revelation. So after that, we're just with the Lord. He's with us. There is no more gap to be bridged. It's the new heavens and the new earth. There is no more sin. There is no more tears. There's no more mourning. We are with God. He is with us. There's no more gap. There's no more reason to come down. We're there.
Yep.
In the new heavens and new earth. And again, we just don't know what that's like yet, John. We just haven't experienced that. It's always God has to come down to us, but there, no, we are together for all eternity, and it is going to be beyond imagination, beyond words. Yeah,
and it is a reminder, Matt, that in a sense we already have that, mm-hmm. in terms of the faith and the Spirit that God has placed in our hearts from baptism and strengthened ever after by His Word. I mean, the problem is in our flesh, that there is a gap there. A gap, by the way, that can't be surmounted. It just has to be killed. It's the same thing with the world we live in. That creation is corrupted. That gap, that's why you have to have a new heaven and a new earth. The former has passed away. That's all got to be gone. But I do think it's important to remember that we have that already in terms of the faith and the Spirit that God has given us. That part has no gap anymore at all. The gaps that we seem to experience, the doubts, for example, that I'm wrestling with right now in my cancer treatment, that's in my flesh. But remember what Jesus says, the Spirit is willing. Yeah, but the flesh is still weak. So we do need, that's again why we need to go every week, because the flesh is still there. It's still troubling us.
Yeah. So this gap has been bridged between us and God in Jesus Christ, our Savior, right? But it's also this now and not yet. So it's been bridged. Yeah. Right. We are forgiven. We're redeemed. Right. Yeah. Jesus, again, and we're in sacrament, dwells with us. But yet, you know, it's still not that perfect dwelling place. It's still not the new heavens and the new earth when, finally, there is no separation at all. We see Jesus even face to face, right? What do we do in the meantime then, you know?
Good question.
I think it's important, you know, and I think it's very freeing for us to realize that, since we don't need to go up to God, since we don't have to somehow bridge this gap between us and God, well, then we could stop trying to do that, right? We could stop trying to climb up ladders of our own making because of our good works or because of how moral we are. God has come down to us. Jesus Christ has come down to us already. And so now we can spend our time going out, right? We can spend our time not trying to get up to God, but instead looking outward, looking to our neighbors, looking to our city, looking to our world. Did give aid to others after these terrible storms in St. Louis or whatever that might look like, wherever God has placed us, reaching out to people who are stuck thinking that they need to climb up to God to share with them the good news that no, Christ has come to you. Again, our focus doesn't have to be on our good works, climbing up to God. Our focus now, God, Jesus is taking care of that. He's come down to us. And now I am set free to look outward now to others, to our neighbor, to where God has placed me. How can I best serve my neighbor? So I think it's a really freeing message to know that, Jesus has come down to us. And at the end, there'll be that final coming down when he returns, and there'll be that new heavens and new earth.
And I love the word freeing, because see, that's the thing. Now we can love people not with a thought like, oh my God, what if I don't do this right? What if I don't do enough of it? No, because that's not a factor. That's not a matter at all. There's somebody in need, I'm helping them, and it's not because it's going to get me anything special in terms of heaven or get me brownie points with God. It's just, I'm taken care of. The Lord loves me. I have a new heaven and a new earth ahead of me. So I think I kind of like to help the people that are still here in this old earth with all of its mourning and crying and pain, and I'm going to do everything I can to kind of alleviate that, with a realization that time will come when God will do it even better than what I'm doing.
And that's exactly what Jesus did in his ministry, right? That the reign of God came down to earth, and every time Jesus, fed people and healed and raised the dead, it's this inbreaking of God's kingdom. It's like heaven coming down. And yet, even in Jesus' ministry, not everything was fully restored. No. Now that won't happen until he returns on the last day. But until then, for us to look outward so that, through us, Jesus can come down into their lives. And that's a beautiful thing. And what a privilege to be a part of that as his people.
I like that image. I hadn't thought of it that way, but we are really the kingdom of God coming into the world when we love and care for the people around us, and do so, again, not because it's something that's required of us or something that's going to gain us a reward, but just the way God does it, just because it's the loving thing to do. That's all there is to it. Yep. Well, we thank you very much, Matt, for your discussion, and we appreciate all of our listeners. This has been Wrestling with the Basics.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.